Philemon 6. We want to look at the ministry of the saint, or the saint's ministry, interestingly, in Saints Community Church. The ministry of the saint, or you can say the ministry of the believer. Philemon 6. Now, this is Paul praying from verse 4. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. Verse 5 says, and of thy love and faith, which you have towards the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you say this, you mean towards all saints. Verse 6 says, and the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Of course, when we mention a saint is not someone who died. There is a Saint Peter, Saint Paul. And then you say saint. Saint refers to someone who has been dedicated by God. And that's why in 1 Corinthians 1, 2, Paul says to them who are saints in Christ Jesus, or who are dedicated to God, it means to be made holy or to be reserved unto God. And so when you have saints, it's not a function of qualification. You don't qualify to be a saint. It's God who qualifies. See? It means to be made holy, or when you say holy, it means to be treated differently, or to be separated, taken apart. The same way some of us have parts of our homes that are holy unto us. I'm not talking about prayer room, or where you put a cross in the middle and candles are burning at night. I'm talking about maybe a sitting room that's just for the family, or just for yourself. It's holy, because you made the place holy. So God has made us holy. We didn't make ourselves holy unto Him. He did that to us. And that's why 1 Peter 2, 9 says, you are a holy nation. Because God has called you out of darkness to light, to His marvelous light, to show forth His praises. So He has called you. That calling is why you are holy. Salvation is why you are holy. It's not, holiness is not a conduct, even though holiness produces a conduct. Alright? But holiness is not a conduct. Holiness is God choosing us and separating us to Himself. Hebrews 2:11, He that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause is not ashamed to call them brethren. That's why you are called holy. Praise the Lord. So when you say saint, a saint simply means a holy person. Doesn't mean someone whose ways are always right. No. It means someone that God has chosen. So that's what a saint means. We're going to get to that much later. I just wanted to say that ahead of time. Now in Philemon 6, it says that the communication of thy faith. Now when you hear communication, of course, it's Old English. It's not phone call. Communication. The word communication is where you have the word fellowship. Koinonia. Where you have fellowship. The communication of your faith. And I told you the word koinonia is from the word koinos. What is available, what is open, what is common. Alright, so when you use the word fellowship, it must be more than one person. In other words, it's given by one for another or to another. So when you say fellowship, it refers to contribution. What you gave or what you are part of. In 1 John 1:3, it says, truly our fellowship is with the Father in His Son Jesus Christ. That's what He said. Our fellowship. In 1 Corinthians 1:9, it says, we are called to the fellowship of His Son. So that means in that instance, we are made to benefit from what God gave. And so in 1 John, He says that benefit is that your sins are cleansed by His blood. 1 John 1:7. Now, so when we now say that the fellowship, of your faith. Notice that. That will be the participation, or better still, the contribution of your faith, may become effective. Notice that. It says the sharing of your faith. I told you many times, Christianity is not a personal thing, it's a personal thing. No, it's not personal. It says there's a communication of your faith. A sharing of your faith. Hallelujah. That is the contribution of your faith. That's to other people. May become effective. Praise the Lord. But one of the ways you look at your Christian walk is your contribution to others. The communication of your faith. Koinonia, I repeat that again. May become effectual. Now Paul is praying. He's praying for believers. In this instance, he's praying for Philemon. And so his prayer for Philemon is for Philemon, alright, to be an effective Christian. Many times I've seen people use this verse just for knowledge. No. It's not just about knowledge. He wasn't just praying about knowledge. There was knowledge in there, but he was talking about your participation of your faith. So it wasn't just a prayer of knowledge, but that knowledge becomes effective for something. Praise the Lord. So he prayed. May become effectual. Now, when you use the word effectual, it means active. There are too many Christians that are some believers are acting believers. You know why they acting? You know, some guys are just acting believers. That is, today they are hot, tomorrow they are cold, the next week they are all, you know, after a teaching seminar, they say, man, I'm going to give my all. I'm going to give my all. Oh my all. That's Sunday morning. You know, Monday morning is different from Sunday morning. One of the things, you know, on a Sunday morning in Lagos, there's no traffic. Everybody's going, you know. But Monday morning, you wish it was Friday. Isn't that true? I say, hey, the alarm on Monday morning rings differently. And the day starts. So your commitment on Sunday morning is now put to test. Like every Christian quotes his song. Reality, sometimes in the nighttime, that is, sometimes in the daytime, sometimes in the nighttime, when shadows make men fear, sometimes on Monday morning, that's what we're going to say. Reality begins. Hello. That's it. I'm not alone. Hallelujah. What a song. So you it becomes effective. The word effective there, or effectual, is a word that means active. I mentioned that earlier. You see it in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9. Effectual door. Effectual door. An open and effectual door. Also in Hebrews 4, 12. The word of God is active. Is living, is alive. So it is very possible for a man to be born again and his Christian life, pay attention, is not active. He's born again. As he is, so are you. Praise the Lord. There was one guy that I just spoke with a couple of minutes ago. He said, don't ever sing the song, there's none like Jesus. As he is, so are we in the world. I said, you're wrong. It depends on what you are saying. I said, there's just one mediator between God and man. As he is, so are you. I said, there's one Lord, one Savior. As he is, so are you. We said, not in that context. I said, so you two put your statement in context. Hallelujah. So your Christian life can be ineffective when it is of no benefit to other people. You say, I love the Holy Spirit. And you know, these days you have someone say, let us enjoy intimacy with the Holy Spirit. I don't know. What is it? What does that mean? Is it your wife or something? Intimacy. What does that mean? Just private moments. You see that you're hallucinating. It's hallucination. You see the written word, you won't look at that one. You'll be hearing voices. You know, I love you. I believe in you. Before you were born, I knew your path. That's why I made you a Nigerian. What? No, I'm joking. Don't take me out of context. So you know, I made you fail your jam 3 times. I'm sorry for that. I hope that's not a word of knowledge somewhere. Because when I faced this place, I said, let me look somewhere else, you know. You know, the Holy Spirit is talking to you and say, how you begin to hallucinate? Someone spoke to me on Thursday. He said, sir, but I heard a voice. Say, I've called you to take my mercy to my people. I said, you were hearing voices. I said, I'm not doubting your experience. It's real. But from where? Hallelujah. I'm with the Holy Spirit. Where is the Holy Spirit? At the side of the corner in your room. And you are talking. You read a book. I understand that book. Are you there? He said, my Christian life is known to me and God. Me and God. I said, can you see what I said? Me and God. He said, me and God. There's already a distance. So let's bridge the gap for you. Me and God. No. The Christian walk must become effective by your sharing of it. Yeah, that's why. Look at James. James says, for faith without works. That's what James said. He says, faith without works is dead. In verse 20. What do you mean without works is dead? It's not dead to God. James was talking about you among people. He said, if someone is hungry, and then you see him, you say, that says, I've not eaten since morning. He said, what? Your father owns the world. Your father owns the world. Say after me, my father owns the world. Say after me, I can never be hungry. I can't say that word. I'm really hungry, sir. You say unto me, all the food in Lagos belongs to me. No, that's not so nice. You know, that's not good confession. No, it says faith without works, works for who? It's not works for God. Works towards others, because he's talking about love. He says he's dead. He's not dead. He's not dead that you're not born again. It means he's not effective for anybody. That's the exact opposite of energio that Paul used in Philemon 6. Your faith is ineffective towards people. So say, faith without corresponding action is words. In fact, what he was rebuking was words. Just merely using words. You are blessed, brother. You are blessed, brother. You are blessed, brother. No, not you are blessed, brother. You must be the one to really bless the brother. Are you there? So, get back to Philemon 6. That the communication of your faith may become effective or effective by the acknowledgement. Effective means to be active. Now, many times in scripture, the word faith is used for the work of the ministry, for other things apart from salvation. For example, look at Romans chapter 12 verse 3. Romans chapter 12 verse 3. A whole lot of people have taught this really wrongly, though many innocently. Verse 3, for I say through the grace given unto me, are you there? Alright, good. To every man that is among you, as a believer, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, people believe that what he's saying is that when you get born again, you're given a measure of faith, then it now grows till, we don't know, till when. But actually what he's saying here is a measure of the faith. Now when he says the faith here, and I've told you, you don't use words the same way everywhere. You must find out what's he talking about. A measure. Now, whenever you use the word measure, it's the word metron in the Greek, M-E-T-R-R-O-N. It's used for a part of a whole. A part of a whole. Pay attention here. A part of a whole. Metron. What do you mean by that? Now, you see, Paul, again, uses this term, metron, in 2 Corinthians 10:13. 2 Corinthians 10:13. We will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God has distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. See, he's using it for the work of the ministry. A measure. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 7. Ephesians 4 7. And unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. What do you mean by that? Then he went on to talk about what he's saying. He mentioned he gave gifts unto men. Then in verse 11, he gave some. So there's some. That's a part of it. A part, apostles. A part, prophets. A part, evangelists. A part, pastors and teachers. So when you use the word metron, you are referring to the body of Christ. Ministry in the body of Christ. So in Romans 12:3, when it says he has dealt unto every man a measure of the faith. A measure of the faith there refers to the work of the ministry. Ministry becomes the focus. That is service. Again, Ephesians chapter 4 verse 13. Now listen carefully here now. I want your attention. Ephesians 4:13. Having said that, you know, he gave some apostles, verse 11 again, let me start from 11. Some, so is that some a measure? I'm asking a question. Is that some a measure? Very good. So some, okay, let me put it together. Let's have five people or four. Four people. Let me have an apostle for now. An apostle? You don't want to be an apostle? Come. A woman will be prophetess. They fit in. Okay, you come. Prophetess. Or prophet. Not prophetess. Prophetess, you come. So let's have evangelists. This sound rough. Evangelists. Oh my God, I miss you. The real prophet, you come. So I'm changing you to evangelist. There's a prophet here already. I'm sorry. You mustn't be exalted above your measure. So it's a prophet. Will you stay in the middle? Apostle. In the middle, a prophet is after apostle, then you have. Then pastor. Someone very cool. He looks like one. Come, you know, you just. He's a 21st century pastor. That's right. Pastor and teacher. Okay, so you have some, a measure. Okay? A measure of the faith. You clear? Each one has a measure of the faith. Hold on now. Look at 13. So you guys don't look at the Bible yet. Just look at me. No, don't look at me. Look somewhere, just hold on. Verse 13. Till we all come to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, what's this produces? A perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of what? The fullness of Christ. That is, everybody is working together. Now, notice that again. He repeats this statement in verse 16. You guys don't sit there. Hold on. Look at 16. From whom, that is, when we begin to grow up, verse 14 says, you are no longer a big tossed to and fro. That is, you don't carry koboko today, then you take oil tomorrow, and then you have to mantle the next day, then you dance the other day, then you collect comb. You start doing those kind of things. You just mature. So he says in verse 16, 15, speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things, which is the head of Christ. Now let's take 16 together. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compact that by every joint supplies. Hold on. Every joint. Who are the joints? We have four. Pastor and teacher. No 21st century. We have evangelist. We have the prophet Shamba. We have the apostle. He looks really apostle. He's going to dig into many places. So you have, hold on apostle. I'm sorry. And it says, according to the effectual working in the measure of what? Now, how many parts do we have? Four. So everybody's walking together, okay? Makes increase of the body to the edifying of itself in love. So the body of Christ growing will be a function of everybody doing what? Function. Supplying every part. Does it make sense? Let me see. Thank you, Ministry Gates of God. What was my own role there? MC, I think. Yeah. Alright, good. So, you have every joint supplies. So, in other words, he gives a measure for the whole part. For the whole body. A measure will now be a function. A function. Everybody's doing something. Go to Romans 12:3 again. Romans 12:6. Measure of faith. Look at verse 4. What is 4? Verse 4? Okay, 4 verse 4. 4 means this is the reason. Come on. Are you following this? For as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same. So the measure refers to what? Office. Function, actually. All members have not the same office or function. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. And he goes on to talk about those functions in the body of Christ. The same thing you'll find in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And in verse 27. You are the body of Christ and members in particular. Then verse 28 says, it says some in the church, firstly apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, and gifts of healings, helps governments, diversities of tongues. Does that make sense? Does it make sense now? So the measure of faith will be your function in the body of Christ. Now when you say body of Christ is not a building, it's not an organization, even though we have organization, we have buildings, you refer to people. Your function amongst believers. Are you there? So you need to realize that this is the ministry that we have received in Christ. A measure of every part. Every part. So get back to Philemon. Philemon 6. That the communication of thy faith, again, the secret, may become effectual by the acknowledgement. Now the word communication, we said, means fellowship. To participate. Check these words quickly. Check the scriptures. Acts 2:42. When they got born again. When you get saved. What happens next? You are introduced to the fellowship of saints. What do you mean fellowship of saints? Where saints participate. Where we give and receive. Acts 2:42. I quickly just put this down for another time. 1 Corinthians 10:16. You find it used two times. Koinonia. 1 Corinthians 10:16. To be part of something. Then 2 Corinthians 6:14. What fellowship are light with darkness? Then 2 Corinthians 10, 13, 14. I said 2 Corinthians 6:14. Then 2 Corinthians 13:14. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Ghost, the contribution, the participation of the Holy Ghost. Look at Philippians 2:1. If there be any consolation of Christ, all right? If there any comfort of love, then it says if there any fellowship of the Spirit, the fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, and let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. So when you talk about fellowship, it's about other people. Then again, Philippians 1:5. I said 25 was an error. Philippians 1:5. Let's take it together. But let's start from verse 3. Let's take it together. Philippians 1, 3-5. Let's go. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Verse 4. Always in every prayer of mine for you, always making requests with joy. Verse 5. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Hold on. Is this similar to Philippians 6? Huh? He's praying. Praying that your fellowship up till now. Paul says, I was praying concerning your fellowship. Your fellowship. Your contribution. Your participation. You were never born again alone. You were born in a family. You were born in the church. Praise the Lord. So there is an active participation that we ought to have. Get back to Philippians 6. So he's praying that fellowship, that contribution, alright, which you have of the Lord. Now, a good number of times, you have people, they get born again, the next day, they want to start serving. And sometimes it's born out of guilt. Born out of guilt. You say, I will follow you. I will follow you. And they're crying. They say, I'm going to stop Jesus. They say, when is the church service ending? They say, any 1 hour. Why 1 hour? Can we end at midnight? I want to stop Jesus. I want to stop him. It's okay. Don't worry. What's happening? Then the next day, said, is there no church today? There's no church. We go to work. No. I have decided to follow Jesus. And he's crying. You don't know why she's crying? Oh, sorry, Eve. Not always she. You say, why are you crying? He said, oh, you don't understand me. But I'm going to stop you. You know, he's not. You need to get me. So he said, what band do you want to join? Oh. You know, I got born again now. I have the reality of who I am in Christ. But when I got born again, I didn't have a life where I was a drug addict or something like that. No. I was just a good guy. Not totally good, but fine guy. No. But when I got saved, and then they said they wanted to have this prayer group. He said, you pray Monday and Tuesday, you do vigil. Saturday and Sunday, vigil. Thursday and Friday, vigil. So you join one of the three groups. Then Wednesday, everybody prays. I said, I'm joining all. Say, what? You don't know my love for my Savior. So I really was there. I said, no! First week! So during that vigil, I was feeling, what in the world did I get into? By the second week, I felt sick. As the custom should be. Because you're probably just doing it out of guilt. You think God is asking you with all I've done for you? Why are you looking? Go. Now, did you see that debt? You didn't see the debt. Go on, passion for the Christ. Come back and see me. You see the kind of debt, both death and death. So, you know you cannot repay me. So, but try. Try. Show efforts. You will not do it though, but try. So every day you are trying. Then you break down. That's why some folks, the way they tithe, Levi will be scarce. They bring that calculator. 2 naira off. And they are tithing. The man of God says, if you want the blessing, you speak to the blessed. I'm walking. You know, the blessed blesses with the blessed. You need the messenger to get the message. Your response to the messenger is your response to the message. Therefore, God does nothing except the servants, the prophets. As you are hearing that, you empty your wallet. Say, to the right, $1,000 per year that you need. Then you now hear the word. In fact, you don't even wait to hear the rest. Then you don't give to be blessed. Eh? Offering time. You hear it? You stopped giving because you were not giving out of knowledge. You were giving to your fears. You were actually feeding your fear. So now that you've heard the gospel, wow. Thank God for God. You get it? Here you know, you used to go to church every morning, every night, every evening. There you now stroll to the first service at the middle of the sermon. No Bible. You say, every Sunday they are always giving you a Bible. I am not ashamed that they are always lending you your faith every Sunday. And they take it back. Oh, thanks. After all, as he, so are we. In fact, as we are, so he will be. So you just... You are not effective because the sharing of your faith was not because of knowledge. Hallelujah. You were not giving out of knowledge. You were giving out of either greed or fear. Greed. Someone says, there was a brother. He came to our ministry in London. As he gave £1,000. The very next day, the prime minister called him and gave him £1,000,000. And your eyes begin to go like, You gambler, internationalize yourself. This is the church. This is the man of God. Sorry, man of God for the hour. See your greed? I was telling you in the first service. The man comes, the pastor of a church. He tells you his story. His grasp of grace story. I used to be a messenger. I was on the streets of Lagos. I entered in Lagos with one pair of trousers. And a Jesse, a Chelsea Jesse. What do you laugh? I just said Chelsea Jesse. Okay, Jesse of Chelsea. I came to Lagos. But then today, look at how many cars I have. Look at how many houses. And told me, I said, God is faithful. Huh? Are you not listening to what he's saying? Grass to grace. Are you sure you are not the grass? I don't say, Pastor sir, did you do any business? Say no, this is the business. And you are grateful for being stupid. Let's go further. Give into your greed. You now become a money doubler in service. Say, let us give. You begin to calculate. 5K. 5K. 10K. 10K. 20K. 20K. No. 104. 104. 5K is 104. I do this again next week. That's 50K. You are in trouble. So you begin, those things stop. Because you were in service. Some people leave the church. As they leave that church, they become docile. You know why? Because the sharing of your faith was not based on knowledge. It was based on individuals or certain conveniences that they were enjoying. Some, because they were younger, or you're on campus. I was talking to a campus judge one time. I said, you people are probably now, when you're on campus, you want to quote the Greek translation of the Greek word. Knowledge is fooling your head. Sorry, my grammar. Fooling your head. Because so far you can be texting somewhere and they will send money to you. But when you graduate and you do NYSE 1 year, your confession will adopt a little bit of some strategic thinking. Then you have a good time. Because you really probably weren't precise about what you knew. So the communication of your faith becomes effectual by the epignosis, that's the word in there, epignosis of every good thing which is in you, which is in Christ. So I say epignosis. It means precise. I told you epignosis means specific knowledge of every good thing which is in you, which is in Christ. And when Paul was praying in Ephesians 1, when he prayed for the church in Ephesus, he says, he will give you the spirit of wisdom, Ephesians 1:17, and revelation in the epignosis of him, the eyes of your understanding, being enlightened, that you may know, so that you are serving God, and you are in the service, or you are in church, does not mean you know. You may not know what you are doing. You may be doing something, a lot of activity, but you really don't know what you're doing. Hallelujah. You are not trying to bribe God. No. You are not trying to hold the hand of God. You're not trying to make God like, give me, I give you. God, I've been to service on Sunday, so on Monday, show up. No. That's not what you're doing. You're getting it wrong. Says, you become effective when you acknowledge. You have precise understanding. So your eyes are open. In Ephesians chapter 4, again what we read earlier on. He says he gave some apostles, we read that verse 11. He gave some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Then he says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. See, we all come to the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now look at 14. That we henceforth be no more babes. The word there is nepios. Nepios means an infant, undeveloped person. Tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine and slight cunning craftiness of men, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So you can be an infant in your thinking. One of the traits of an infant is that you are not stable. You are not stable. You don't have a consistent pattern. You are not stable. You are here, to and fro. I shared that in the first service. You are not stable. But he says, so when you hear the word babes, it's not like a spiritual nature. No, it's actually a disposition that a man has. In 1 Corinthians 3:1, Paul says, "Our brethren, I couldn't speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." Nepios, again. A babe. Someone who is not mature. You can be a Christian for many years and not mature. When your reasons are strange, your kind of motives, why are you doing this? You know, I want to enter heaven. Enter now. You know, that's a wrong motive. I'm seeking the kingdom so that all other things can be added unto me. You are still seeking them. It's just the other way around. No, your motives are wrong. But then when a man has precise knowledge, Paul says his participation becomes effective. Now let me ask you. Is that participation ministry? Huh? Is that participation ministry? You're making yourself available. Very good. So it becomes effective by knowledge. By knowledge. Ministry doesn't become effective by activity. It becomes effective by knowledge. When you have a precise understanding of what you are doing. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Are you learning something? Are you learning something? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're looking at the ministry of the saints. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Yes, Paul. He says, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, alright, he is a new creature. Anybody like that this morning, this afternoon? Let me see that. Okay. All things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. Can we take verse 18 together? All things are of God, who had reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us what? So, is the ministry of reconciliation in Christ? Huh? Is it in Christ? Very good. What is the ministry? Ministry is the word diakonia. It means to offer services, to serve, to render a service. Ministry is what you do for another. So, if you're a new creature in Christ in 17, the minute you get born again, automatically, are you a minister? Ask the question. Are you a minister? Very good. I know some people think ministry is something you are called to. You go to a mountaintop experience, or you have a lizard speak to you, sorry, a serpent or a monkey. Yes, the Lord of hosts. You know, no. Ministry is what you receive in Christ. Look at verse 19. Let's take it together now, verse 19. To wit, God was where? In Christ. Go on. Reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and had committed unto us what? The message of reconciliation. So he calls the ministry the message. Two things. You go, Diakonia. He uses 18. In 19, he uses the word logos, a message, an understanding of reconciliation. So, can we say that one of the good things we have in Christ Jesus is the ministry of reconciliation? Let me see your hand this way. Is that clear? The ministry of reconciliation, which is a message of reconciliation. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. So, as believers, we have a responsibility to participate in this ministry. In Ephesians chapter 4 verse 12, Paul says he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Which is, we can call that the local church. Some people don't even know why you go to a local church. I like that church because they always help me to fulfill my dreams. So it's a dream center. I like that place. I learned how to organize my business in the church. That's good. That's a good place. That's a business school. I learned in the church. Now, nothing wrong in learning how to do your business. You should. Nothing wrong in having your dreams come to pass. Depending on what kind of dream it is. But that's not the function of the church. He says, for the perfecting of the saints in verse 12, which is the word katatismos. It means to equip you. So, the reason for the church or the ministry is to have ministry. So, the fruit of ministry is ministry. Ephesians 4:11, the ministry gift. Ephesians 4:12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. So, your pastor's job is to equip you. So that you fulfill the work of the ministry. Your pastor's job is not to make you grow your business or excel in your career. That's good, lovely, desirable, nice, commendable. What else? Help me. Adorable, admirable, excitable, achievable. Help me out. Doable. Able. But you see, that's not the reason for the church. No. That's not the reason for the church. The reason for the church is to equip you for the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. The word edifying there means to build up. To build up the church. Can we build the church by learning cooking skills? Please answer me now. So, my church is so anointed with cooks. No. Should Christians be good cooks? Well, yes. Anyway, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So, your job is not to learn. I learned how to play football in church. Seriously? Well, that's not sort of a bad idea. If you are following the current news, it's so discouraging. You go to school 6 years, you get a degree, you even find your application letter, with the woman selling akara. And then you see one 19-year-old boy. Who does this? And then you hear, what he hears per minute is your pension scheme. How would you not think, this world is not my home. I am just passing. You mean what? You just preach against materialism. You know what I'm talking about. Don't try and think about what I just said now. Just take it off your mind. Amen. So it's not the work of the church. The work of the church. You can be so busy with what is not your primary work. The work of the church is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. That is why he said that we come to the unity of the faith, which is the knowledge. So that equipment is the knowledge of the Son of God. Verse 13. That equipment is the knowledge of the Son of God. Again, the word there is epignosis. Epignosis. The knowledge of the Son of God. So there must be what we do twofold now. What we do for the church and what we do in the church. What we do for the church and what we do in the church. What we do for the church. The church's primary assignment in the world is to reach the world for Jesus. What we do for the church and what we do in the church. What do you do for the body of Christ? And what do you do in the body of Christ? The ministry of the saints. What do you do for the body of Christ? And what do you do in? Look at Matthew 28 quickly. Matthew 28, verse 18. All authority is given me in heaven and earth. Then it says, go ye therefore, Matthew 28, verse 19, teaching all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. The word teaching all nations there is the word matheteuo in the Greek, M-A-T-H-E-T-E-U-O. Which means to raise disciples. Students. Who is a student? Hear me out. Whenever you mention disciple, it's a disciple of someone. So, the same way, if you go to the College of Medicine. That's not a school. College of what? Choose something. I think there should be a College of Soccer. In reality, because your child likes to play football now, it's a blessing. Say, Father, I thank you. You're a faithful God. And then the child doesn't say, my favorite club is IICC or 3SA. What's that? Don't use negative confession in this home again. Mention things like Ba, C, Ria, Ma. I almost said Chelsea, but God said no. So when you go to school, for example, you go to the Faculty of Economics, and then the HOD must be, the HOD now is a professor of law. That can happen in some schools in Nigeria. I once was in a school where the HOD or the dean of the Faculty of Law had his PhD in Business Administration. That's deep, multidimensional. But you go to the school because someone who is the head of the school, the lecturer, the teacher there, is arguably, if it's a faculty of law, is a professor of law. So you are a student. So what does he impart into you? Law. The knowledge of law. Constitutional law. Commercial law. So you are a student of what he is teaching. Now what is he producing? He must reproduce what he knows in you. And what he does. Am I making any sense here? So when you are saying you are a disciple of Christ. You are a disciple of the gospel. which is in Matthew 28, 18 to 20. That means the fruit of it will be to do what Jesus has done or what he is doing. So, if I am a disciple of the gospel, what will be the fruit of my discipleship? The gospel. So, we say, the fruit of ministry is ministry. If you are receiving ministry, that's like you plant rice, you get rice. The fruit of ministry is ministry. If you're a disciple, then you begin to learn from your teachers. And then you begin to do what they do. And that's exactly what the Jew or the Hebrew man or the Israelite knew about discipleship. You learn from someone to do what they're doing. You learn from Jesus to do what he is doing. The 12 learned from Jesus. They saw him heal the sick. They saw him preach. They saw him cast out devils. Then he called them together in Luke 9 and Matthew 10. Then he sent them out. Because they had seen him do it. So, the proof of discipleship is to reproduce what your teacher is doing. Let me see your hand before then what I'm saying. Come on, let me see your hand. Let me see your hand. Come on, let me see I'm talking to you. Come on, raise your hand. Let me see. Are we all together here? So, the proof of being taught is to do what your teacher is doing. That's exactly what they did. They were doing what he did. Luke's Gospel 9 and Luke's Gospel 10. So in Acts of the Apostles chapter 6, verse 1, you will have seen in Acts 2:42 that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That is, the apostles were teaching them and they were following the teaching. So in Acts 6:1, Acts 6:1, in those days when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose murmuring of the gent of the Christians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in daily ministration. Verse 2, Acts 6. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it's not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Look at 3. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among yourselves, you, 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. That is, look for among yourselves men who are now practicing what we have been teaching. Who amongst you are showing proof of what we're teaching. Because on the face of it, those 3 things ought to be seen in every believer. Am I making sense here? Huh? But here, these ones have made a practice of it. Full of the Holy Ghost. When they're full of wisdom, that means insight into the Word of God. That we may appoint over this business. So, these disciples have now become examples of what we are teaching. Look among you. 7 men. Who are examples of what we are teaching. Then they found 7 of them. One of them was Stephen. Look at verse 5. They called him a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Look at verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles amongst the people. He was now doing exactly what the apostles were doing. Acts 8. Same thing as Stephen. Verse 5. Sorry, Philip, pardon me. Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Was that what his teachers were doing? Was that what they were doing? What else did he do? And the people went accord. Verse 6. Gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Verse 7. And clean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies and who were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. So, Philip was practicing what he was being taught. The fruit of ministry will be ministry. Look at Acts 11 or Acts 9. You see another disciple, Ananias, verse 10. who was sent to go minister to Saul. He knew what to do. Go and meet one called Saul. He's praying. Lay hands on him. He was taught. He knew what to do. Because if he didn't know what to do, if you were taught that you need 7 steps or prayer and fasting and you need to sow a seed in the man of God's life to lay hands, he wouldn't have gone. But he was taught. So what he was doing here to Paul was to practice what he had been taught. Acts 11. Again, verse 19. These are disciples again. They which were scattered abroad from the persecution that rose from Stephen traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. Can we take verse 20 and 21 together? And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they had come to Antioch, spake unto the Christians, preaching the Lord Jesus. Verse 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. So you can see, they were now producing fruit of being taught. Fruit of being taught. Acts 15. So, amongst these people, now emerged prophets and teachers. Some even apostles. Among these folks. Acts 15. Verse 32. No, let me start from 27. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. So you see, those guys are now mature. We are now sending them to do what we would have done. Until now, Peter and John will go. Now he says, look, you guys are going. You go do it. Because they were already put into practice the things they were taught. Look at this now. Verse 32. Let's see verse 32 together. 32. And Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. So they were now taught, and they were now reproducing ministry. The fruit of ministry is ministry. It's ministry. If you are not engaged in the work of ministry of the church and in the church, then you are not growing. You are not maturing. You are maturing with experiences, and you are hearing so much of the Word of God every Sunday and Wednesday, but really you are not growing. You are only growing in experience, not growing in wisdom and insight and practice. You are not. Because the ministry of the saints is what you do for the saints, which is the ministry of the gospel to the world, and what you do amongst the saints. So you need to understand the importance of a precise understanding of what we have in Christ. Remember, do we have a ministry of reconciliation in Christ? Do we have a work to preach the message of reconciliation in Christ? Yes, we do. So we're taught to reproduce what has been produced in us, what we have been taught. Primarily what we do. We pray for others. Write this down. We pray for others. We pray for people. And that's why you don't find any special prayer group in the book of Acts or any special prayer group in the epistles. Everybody was taught to pray for all saints. In Acts 4:23, when they came to their own company, the whole church lifted up their voice to pray. Do you pray for saints? Are you contributing to praying for saints? In Acts 12:5, the entire church lifted up their voice to pray. Supplication was made by the church. Acts 13, 1 and 2. The church at Antioch, they were praying. So prayer is not a special ministry for anyone. Prayer is part of that fellowship we have among the saints. Ephesians 6, 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit for all saints. For all saints. Are you part of that? Colossians 4, 3. Pray that the door of utterance be opened to us. Colossians 4:3. Are you part of that? 2 Thessalonians 3:1. Pray for us that the word of God may run and have a free course and be glorified even as it is with you. Verse 2. That we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have no faith. Are you part of that? He's writing to the church and he's asking the church to pray for the work of the ministry. Are you part of that? Do you do that? Do you do that? Because that is your fellowship for the saints. Praise the Lord. I've said it many times. They call Nigerian church a praying church because most of the time they're not looking at what we're praying about. If the economy of this country improves, which is going to happen, and then you have unemployment is 0.000000000.00, that means nothing. You have because when there's no unemployment, you can't have crime. Not crime to steal. Then you now have mortality rate is good. They have a security at a high head. There's a country in Europe, I think it's Norway. A whole year, they had 6 cases of knife stabbing. That's the entire crime in the whole year. I said, oh my God. That's like Zion. Just 6 in the year. That's not a crime here. That's two fighting. You get the point? So I think it was Norway. So you have that. And then you have security is good. How do you know a country that security is good? They don't build fences. What we call security is against security. You have healthcare system. Remember my son had an accident. He was having holiday in London with his uncle. So his teeth fell off. And when they came in, I know they did 911, they came for the ambulance, teeth. And they took him away, and they did brains check, mouth check, heart check, heart check. The same thing that happened here in Nigeria. Eyes block. Oh, you're asleep. Just leave my rest of the body, guy. And it's fine. I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying if that's happening here, you'll see that people wouldn't be praying like you think. You'll just be, what am I praying for? And there'll be no enemies to kill because nobody will be doing you. Everything is fine. Someone said 95% of prayer reports in Nigeria will be sorted by good governance. I agree with that. With good governance, some prayers will just be abandoned. There'll be no blood-sucking spirit on Lagos but Expressway. It'll be nice, bro. You get it? So, but then you can call that a prayer ministry. A prayer ministry is when you pray for others, not pray against others. Say, Father, as you're praying, someone's face is coming to you. Father, you can't survive this. I'm the apple of your eye. I'm the tangerine of your stomach. You don't do that. This is a ministry that becomes fellowship. You are now praying for others. What else are you doing? You are giving. You are not exchanging. You're not transacting. I told you, when your giving is to receive, that is a business investment. That is not generosity. That's a business investment. But when you give to meet the needs of others, just like Paul taught in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9, we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that even though he was rich, he became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich. And he's talking about the church in Macedonia who were experiencing economic difficulty and recession. And yet they were giving to meet needs. Do you give to meet needs? I've seen people that can so give to men of God. They can so give to men of God. It's not generosity, it's for protection. They can so give to men of God, but there will be somebody in their church. They'll say, hey, what's happening? I've heard you've been in these shirts for the past 8 services. What's going on now? Okay. I don't have. You need to understand prosperity. You don't know prosperity. Anyway, God bless you. God bless you. Just stay strong. Stay strong in the faith. And you have to be led by. You are not speaking tongues a lot. Once you know a lot, you will have ideas. Ideas. Okay, you are blessed. Then you see the man of God, he already has 5 cars, 4 SUVs. No, SUVs is reserved on Jeep. Just like Mercedes is reserved on Mestis. Mercedes. When you say Mercedes Benz, so, wow. This is good. The same person who has no needs. Yes, sir. I just know that you are being a blessing. Sir, the grace upon your life is not even on Jesus. I want to give you. You are a believer. No, you ought to fellowship with the saints. Give to meet the needs of others. That's why some of these Titus are the most difficult people when it comes to giving to others. Because they have told them, if you eat your tithe, you eat your life. Remember one day, years ago, we had this offering. And so we were going, and then someone said, that brother, you know, he doesn't have a house to stay. He hasn't eaten. And so I said, where's the offering? I said, do you have money on you? I said, no, sir. I said, what about the offering? No, that is church money. He said, what is he, a mosque? Is that brother a mosque? Bring it in and give him and go. Is it not we that will spend it eventually? Amen. So I say, oh, is this what happened to our offering? Can you imagine where your mind will go there? Hey. So when I put that offering, the pastor will just be giving people money. No, I can't do that. So I want the money that will go to God directly. It will not enter account, no auditing, just go directly. The father, something is wrong with you. If you think like, hallelujah. Part of that ministry is that we help believers. We help them. We give to them. There are some folks busy doing NGO, and there are believers who have needs. They now come on television. They be wearing t-shirts, helping the poor. Cap, face cap. They take a selfie as they are giving you donuts. Just for paparazzi. We have not so learned Christ. I said we have not so learned Christ. What else do we do? We teach and we preach. Look at 1 Corinthians 16 before I leave that point. I'm rushing now. 1 Corinthians 16. Are you learning something? Ask your neighbor, say, what's your fellowship in the body of Christ? Is it strong? Is it consistent? 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. There was a collection for the saints. They were taking money for the saints. Putting down money, things, material resources for believers. Collection for the saints. I give an order that everybody should lay inside as a portion. That means the moment your salary increases, your giving must increase. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You're giving to your church and helping believers. When you were earning 3 million, you were giving 20K to help people, you know, to help people. And you see that the cost of dollar has gone up. You know, that's a lot of things. And then you are still giving the same 20K. And you are now, you used to earn 200,000, now you're earning 3 million. And in the church, the same amount, say, I'm just being constant, being faithful. I'm just being stable. No. Paul said Timothy to charge the rich. 1 Timothy 6:17. They be not high-minded. To communicate, to be liberal. 1 Timothy 6:17 and 18. You learn to give. Praise the Lord. Also, we teach and preach. We teach and preach. As said earlier on, we teach and preach. So we contribute to believers. We contribute to the saints. Praise the Lord. Are you there? We contribute to the saints. So all of us here, we ought to be co-workers. There is no ministry in the body of Christ called attendance. Attending the body of Christ. You only attend. Oh my God, I had a great time in the church. That's no. You're not growing. You ought to be a co-worker. Somebody who is giving to the fellowship of the saints. Look at Colossians 4:12. 4:11. We'll close on that. That's a 4:11. It's 4:12. Are you there? Let's read it together. Colossians 4:12. Let's go. Epaphras. Everybody, let's go again. Epaphras, which is one of you.
Don't say one of us.
What is he? A servant of Christ. Salute you. Always laboring fervently for you, always for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Hallelujah. Look at verse 11. Can we take verse 11 together? And Jesus, which is called Justus. That's serious. Who are of the circumcision? Let's take, finish it, let's go. These only are my fellow workers in the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort to me. Look at the word fellow workers. The word fellow workers is the word sunagos in the Greek. S-U-N-E-R-G-O-S. S-U-N-E-R-G-O-S. It means associate in a task. Associates in a task. Paul used this word so much for others. Let's run through it quickly. Romans 16. Romans 16. So whatever Paul was doing, they were doing. Romans 16. Let's quickly go. Verse 3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. The word soon it goes. Verse 9. Salute Urban, our helper in Christ. The same word, soon it goes. Associates. Verse 21. Timotheus, my work fellow. And Lucius and Jason, Sosipater, my kinsmen, salute you. My associates. 1 Corinthians 3:9. 1 Corinthians 3:9. For we are laborers together with God. The same word. Laborers together with God. Soon it goes. 2 Corinthians 1:24. 2 Corinthians 1:24. But helpers of your joy. Helpers. Associates of your joy. 2 Corinthians 8:23. 2 Corinthians 8:23. This is beautiful. He says, whether any do inquire of Titus, is my partner and fellow helper concerning you. My partner and fellow helper. Philippians 2:25. Philippians 2:25. For I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier. Fellow soldier. Philippians 4:3. Philippians 4:3. I treat also their true yoke fellow. Help those women which labor with me in the gospel. With Clement also and others, my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Philippians 4:3. 1 Thessalonians 3:2. 1 Thessalonians 3:2. And St. Timothy is our brother and minister of God, our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ. Philippians 1:1. Oh, sorry, Philemon 1. Philemon 1. See what he called Philemon? Our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. That was why he prayed that prayer for him. So that means Philemon was a fellow worker. So that prayer in Philemon 6 is for work. It's for service. It's for the work of ministry. Philemon 24. Lucas, my fellow laborers. Hallelujah. He mentioned Demas here. Until Demas traveled abroad. 3 John 8. Are you learning something here? Are you learning something here? So when you grow, 3 John 8, we may be fellow helpers. We therefore ought to receive such that we may be fellow helpers to the truth. Are you a fellow helper with the gospel? Are you a fellow helper with the gospel? Do you do more for other things than the gospel? I'm closing here. Are you a fellow helper for the gospel? Because Paul prayed that the communication of your faith, your service, becomes effectual, ongoing, alive, effective, when you acknowledge every good thing which is you in Christ. The proof of growth is service. What did I say? The proof of growth is what? Is what? Is ministry. Thank God for what we become in the secular world. Great things. You can be great in your career, in your chosen fields of endeavor. But that's not the proof. The proof. Anyone can do that without the Spirit of God. The proof of ministry is ministry. You now mature. You are now a fellow, an associate in the work of the ministry.
Because, see, there's nothing called you are called to the ministry. There's no verse of scripture for it. All callings in the epistles are for salvation. Ministry is a proof of growth. When you mature, you're not getting involved in the service of others. You won't find anywhere, anyone receive the special voice to be called to the work of the ministry. The only exception was Saul of Tarsus. It was an exception to the rule. Every other person matured. As they kept learning, they grew and started serving the church. They were responsible. They were giving to prayer. They were giving to giving and giving to the preaching and teaching of the gospel. Are you an associate in the gospel? The ministry of the saints is yours because you're a saint. You're born again. You are in the body of Christ. Quickly, last verse I open to Colossians 4:17. This is my closing words on this teaching. And I'm saying this to every one of us, young and old, great and small, rich and not rich, whatever status you are. Colossians 4:17. Say it like it was. Take heed to the ministry that you have received in the Lord and that you fulfill it. That you fulfill it. Are you after what Jesus is after in the earth today? I tell you many times, if you see Jesus as human physically and you say, Jesus, what's on your mind? He'll say, I want people born again. He can never tell you, I want elections. No, I want economic progress. That's good, that's great. See, Jesus was the number one thing on your mind. I want people born again. I want believers to grow up in the knowledge of what I have done. That's how to be a walker together with Jesus. Amen. Are you involved in the ministry of the saints? Are you doing something among believers every day that is effective? Are you doing something through the church or for the church in the world? I told you many times, what God will reward will be for the gospel. For the gospel. It's not your talent. Your ministry is not your talent. Your talent will be good, no doubt. It can come in handy. But your ministry is not your talent. Your ministry is the gospel. It's the gospel. The preaching and teaching of the gospel. You're serving in the gospel of Christ. That is the ministry of the saints. You must ask yourself, what are you doing with it? Say to Archippus, take heed. So I say, take heed. That means be careful. Pay attention. You're getting distracted. You're getting distracted. You're getting distracted by worldly affairs, which are also good. You're getting distracted by business. Getting distracted by raising children. Getting married. Good things. But don't get distracted. You're getting distracted. Sometimes you can even get distracted by coming to church. And you're not actually paying attention. Take heed to the ministry that you have received in the Lord, that you fulfill it. Amen. Let's just bow our heads 1 minute, just pray. Whatever is on your heart to pray about, quickly do it. Oh, Lord Jesus Christ.